Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the greatest show in sport.
The biggest football game in the history of Western civilization. What a ride it's been.
It is now time for the Week 3 edition of your NFL Power Rankings. Of course, we keep score here on Sean, RJ, and Bob. Well, as Corey Majors would say, Sean, RJ, Bobby, Peyton, and Carter here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, your home of America's team. If you're new to the show, you text in 1 through 5 or 5 through 1. You can tweet it as well on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. And Ralph, let's start with grading ourselves.
Okay, well, this could be interesting to grade ourselves because this was a tough week.
For you guys, maybe.
Shan, you had Kansas City 1, San Fran 2, Baltimore 3, Detroit 4.
Oh, God.
And Houston 5.
2 and 3.
Are you embarrassed?
A little bit. 2 and 3.
Roberto.
Yeah.
Kansas City 1.
Yep.
San Fran 2.
Nope.
Houston 3.
Yes.
Detroit 4.
Nope.
And Philadelphia 5.
Nope.
Are you embarrassed?
2 and 3.
Peyton Russell. Kansas City 1.
Genius.
San Fran 2.
Idiot.
Detroit 3.
Moron.
Baltimore 4.
Well.
Stupid.
Houston 5.
Are you embarrassed?
2 and 3.
And there's me.
Uh-oh. I see the smile. You lost week one as well.
I don't really ever lose. I just call it not winning.
Okay.
All right. Kansas City 1. Okay. Detroit 2.
Mm-mm.
San Fran 3.
Nope.
Philadelphia 4.
Will this push you over the top with only one win?
And the Dallas Cowboys 5.
Oh! Choppy 0 for 2.
Send those rankings back to Hezbollah.
Yeah, that's where they belong. Where they belong.
You want to read your text message? It's a great text.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It's
clever. I got a text from you. I won't say who, but you can figure out. Somebody texted in and said first time, long time.
Just say his name.
All right, it was Will Kane, who's on our sister station, KRLD.
Used to be on ESPN.
He said, first time, long time, great segment. Austin is rude because of the libs. Let's just all say it out loud. I'll hang up and listen. Will and Hezbollah.
That was good.
See, that hurts.
That's a good line, though. That is a great line.
It hurts.
Okay.
Like friendly fire.
Let's go 5 through 1. Let's go 5 through 1 this week.
Okay.
And change things up. I struggled after 1. I mean, a big time struggle. I wrote 1, and then this was my list.
Then I have 11 teams.
Of possibilities. I will start off here, because I was boring last week, at number 5, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Whoa!
Wow! I'm doing it. I've disrespected Baker for long enough. I know it's the 4th straight time they've started 2-0. I'm wondering if they can be a real legitimate pain in the butt. Todd Bowles was and has been thought of as a good coach throughout his career. I know, you know, there's been some doormat stuff and needing to mess up Brady and then whatever happened there. That was the final year, right, of Tom's career with Brady when Dak eliminated them. But there's just something about Tampa that makes me feel like they're going to be solid throughout the entire season. I'm going to go along with Alex Smith. I know you said they should have lost against the Lions. Dan Campbell butchered all that. I'm going with the Bucs at 5.
Okay. All right. I like it. I put San Fran here.
Whoa! The big drop.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm changing it.
Oh, my.
Are you dropping them out of the top 5 or are you moving them up?
No, I'm moving them up.
Okay.
I'll put Detroit here.
Okay.
They became the first team in 30 years to outgain their opponent by 200 yards and have more than five sacks more than them and lose. And they lost because Dan Campbell can't math and seven trips to the red zone, and Goff got just one TD out of it. They moved the ball at will. They'll be favored in maybe all but three games the rest of the way.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to freak out over one loss, so I will put Detroit at five. I should put them at four, but I'll put them there at five.
I like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I was thinking Detroit should be at five, but I wanted to be a little different.
I struggled with this one. And
look at you. You look like you're struggling.
Well, because there's...
You just laughed at Choppy for being indecisive, and now you are.
All right. Number five is the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
I'll just spoil that this team is not in there, because I was flipping back and forth between five and six, between New Orleans and Buffalo. Buffalo was good. I just don't know that you can sustain what they've done in terms of how old they are, the lack of, like, legitimate passing weapons for Josh Allen. So New Orleans, I just think what they've done so far, they're going to be able to replicate consistently throughout the year. So I've got New Orleans number five.
Number five, I have the Buffalo Bills. RJ sold me on that team in the first couple segments there, saying Arizona's win might have been a bigger win than we think. Maybe Arizona's pretty good.
And we know you can be sold on football teams.
Did I sell you on Hezbollah as a country?
No, I did not buy it. But yeah, and then, I mean, they were beating the Dolphins last week before Tua got hurt well into that game. So I have Buffalo at five.
I'm believing in this team in the long term, but I was listening a little bit to RJ Choppy. And I'm bumping out the armpit at four for the Lions.
Okay.
I wanted to put the Lions at five, but I'm going to go ahead and put them at four. I would still pick them over Tampa Bay today. Houston, that was too ugly of a game. Nothing that they did against the Bears except beating up Caleb was impressive whatsoever. They will be dangerous. They are dangerous. They're just not too dangerous right now to be in my top five. Bumping the armpit out, Lions four.
I have San Fran four. I don't care about the loss as much. It's the NFL. They're still a very good team. They got some injuries. You know, Debo now. They're tough to overcome, even for them. Purdy took six sacks. That was concerning.
Wow.
That was concerning to me. But again, another game like Detroit's, I don't think the results match. Minnesota had a 97-yard touchdown catch. San Fran had 10 more minutes of time of possession, 40% more first downs. The difference is Minnesota was 7 of 12 on third down, and San Fran was 2 of 10. So I have San Fran at 4.
I have the Detroit Lions, or Detroit Lions, however you want to say it. I've got them at number 4, not moving them much. This was a narrow margin, and ultimately, like we've talked about, they dominated the stat line. And so I think it's just one of those losses that we'll look back on and go, that's a game they would have liked to have back. That was one that they felt like they should have won. But ultimately, it doesn't change my view of who Detroit is, so I still have Detroit at number 4.
I have the Saints moving up to number 4.
Two
very impressive wins offensively. I think they continue it against the Eagles in New Orleans this weekend and continue it on throughout the season. So I have the Saints at number 4.
Part of me is trying to tell myself this.
Tell us the Chargers. Come on.
Make me feel a little bit better about things. It just pains me, but I am, that I'm fair and balanced, and I'm the most objective person in the country. The New Orleans Saints.
Whoa. Oh,
baby. Number
three.
Three.
Wow.
For the Saints. Freaking Tom Brady sold me on the physicality of the defense.
Physicality.
I'm thinking DeMario Davis is Ray Lewis now out here for different reasons. And then I'm making Dirk Cutter my new offensive genius after what he did to Mike Zimmer. Move over Shanahan, move over McVay, move over LaFleur, and make room for Dirk.
Clint Kubiak.
I got Dirk
Boise
Cutter.
State. Dirk Cutter and Hezbollah.
Bobby got put Dirk Cutter in my mind because he doesn't stop talking about this damn Dirk Cutter cut.
Yep.
He put it on the cut sheet, so I'm sorry. Dirk Cutter. Clint Kubiak, move aside, Dirk Cutter.
All right. At number 3, I too have New Orleans.
Oh!
Wow.
Nick Bush.
It's it.
Nick Bush.
Good teams dominate bad teams. They dominated the Panthers. And they have thoroughly dominated two opponents, home and road, good and bad. I don't know that, I don't know how after 2 weeks they can't be in the top five.
Like, they've clearly been, through 2 weeks at least, they've clearly been the most impressive team in the NFL.
Yeah, that's easy. number three, the San Francisco 49ers. I bump them down a spot away from number two. They still, ultimately, again, I think they played, if you look at, again, sort of the similar stat line when you look at the way they played against Detroit, they ran the ball effectively. Purdy threw the ball well, even for as much as he said those schemes are crazy to Brian Flores. He still threw for like 340 and a touchdown. Like, he still played decent overall. So I'm not too concerned long-term about San Francisco. Ayuk hasn't even gotten going yet, but I am dropping him down a spot because he can't just lose to Minnesota and not have any repercussions from that. So number three is the San Francisco 49ers.
I also have the 49ers number three. Just dropped them one spot. You know, bad loss on the road against Minnesota, but they did the same thing last year. They went on the road to Minnesota, got beat up there, and they went on to be the number one seed or number two seed in the NFC this year.
Did they lose to Minnesota last year?
Last year they did, yeah.
You know, this Power Rankings here on 105.3 The Fan. I was laughing because Tolo D just sent me the breaking news out of the WNBA. Portland, Oregon is getting a team.
Oh, man. Ah.
Welcome, hashtag welcome to the W.
Wow. So more on that at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
So that's Portland, Portland, Oregon. The only reason I have this team at two is because I have the balls to put the Saints there. And I just don't think there's anyone that's clear cut at two. I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to overpunish. I still have San Francisco at two. I want to believe they dropped down. I think we all should really like look back. And we will. We'll make Bobby do it before the Cowboys play San Fran of what actually happened in the Viking game. I need to hear a complete total breakdown of that film and what happened to figure out one or two. It doesn't matter what order. How legit Minnesota is, what they did, and how susceptible San Francisco is. But for now, I'm going to keep the 49ers at two.
Okay.
I could have put the Saints at two. If I had stones, I would have put the Saints at two.
All right, very nice.
And maybe even Detroit.
So this means you have Kansas City at one.
Yes.
All right, KC at one. Sean, repeat after me.
Oh,
let's go Buffalo.
Wow, you went to the Hay Song.
Yeah,
went to the Hay Song back in the day.
Yeah. All right, I thought about that. You know, you
get ready to get hit over the head with numbers. I can feel it.
That's fine. Their point differential for Houston was too low for me. It was 8 over 2 bad teams. Buffalo's played competitive teams, and they have one of the higher point differentials in the NFL. And this is like the... I'm the quarterback guy. They got a great quarterback. So I will have Buffalo at number two.
Wow. All right, very good. Obviously, number one will be Kansas City for me. But number two on this list, I went ahead and I moved Houston up. So Houston to me is the... San Francisco is probably the most legitimate threat in general. But nobody's a bigger threat in the AFC to Kansas City than Houston. And I think that right now, I think by the end of the season, we're going to be talking about Houston on that tier where you're talking about Kansas City and San Francisco have been so above everybody else. I think by the end of the year, we're talking about, well, it's Kansas City, Houston, and San Francisco that are above the rest of the NFL. And yeah, a little bit of closer games these first two times, but everything, all the signs are there for a team that's about to really blow up.
This was more of a long-term pick, you know, throughout the remainder of the season for me, but I also
really
have Houston.
Like those, but
okay. I have Houston at number two. You know, two ugly wins, I get it, but, you know, they still won the game. CJ Stroud, I believe he's legit. I have Houston at two, and then Kansas City obviously won.
All right, there it is. You're around the NFL Power Rankings Week 3 edition. Those records, by the way, I think those are the worst records in the history of the show. What we all put up last
week. Pretty
bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Especially RJ.
yeah, pretty bad.
Below the belt, how the schedule may be the undoing of Mike McCarthy. That is at 8:40. Dan Hunt to talk about the huge news yesterday in studio at 9. Nick Eatman at 9:20. But it is a Meet Church Wednesday, and he was on my text chain last night for one of the greatest meals I've had this year. Find out how you can make it as well from the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's talk some Q with Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, little parting shot. The Dak deal is closer than it is further away.
And with that, social media was set ablaze. And what? 4 days, 3 days later, something like that.
Yeah.
The news broke on the opening Sunday of the season. So forget about the intro as the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. New NFL insider Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, on the Zoom, Fan Cam, and Twitch here on Sean and RJ. Well done. Well done. What happened with your phone? Did it light up?
Let me tell you something. You text me, and then I was afraid to go look at Twitter. And, yeah, I started getting calls from, like, people that I didn't think would call me. And so what did I do? Because I was just trying to give a little shock. Like, I don't know anything, right? And I like, man, I'm going to get in trouble with the Cowboys before this even gets started. So I put my phone on mute, and I, like, went on vacation for a day, and I didn't answer any of them.
So Dak Prescott did not give you the heads up the deal was close? Oh,
no, absolutely not. And I mean, doesn't sound like he knew either. So, you know,
the hotel room. All right. So does that mean you're not going to do that again, or – you're going to go ahead and kind of take this up with your new Cowboy connections, being the official pitmaster? Or were you more scared than excited?
Froze.
I'll take that as scared.
Oh no.
I think Pittman froze up right there.
The Cowboys cut his internet.
Obviously I have a great relationship with guys, but I'm a trusting person. I'm never going to ruin somebody's trust with saying something I shouldn't. So I was just being funny. But, hey, I'll take the Nostradamus of the NFL title, along with my tailgate title.
What's up with the Brandon Aubrey jersey in the background and the essay written in the number 7 on there in the Meat Church kitchen?
Yeah, I was excited to. I wore his jersey to the game, which I was like, not a lot of people wear kicker jerseys outside of Kansas City, so I thought that would be cool, and I was excited. But Post Malone scooped me. That dude wore one on stage a few days before.
Yeah.
I before that, but anyway, he was great in the game, and I thought it was cool. I spent some time with him, and when I left his house, he was gracious enough to give me this awesome jersey. It says, thank you for everything. You are a rock star. And so I was like, I'm going to wear it one time before I put it in a frame. That was really cool.
You know what his nickname is, right?
Butter.
So yeah. Have you considered like renaming your Butter Burgers like Aubrey Burgers as a nod to him?
It's a good call. I think I told you all when I made jalapeno poppers, I call them jalapeno 66 yard field goal poppers now. So I'm game to use his name on my food items.
Choppy, I'm going to pass this along to you. Okay. Last night I'm going to make some turkey burgers, which I've not made in a long, 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 long time, because you can always tell it's a turkey burger. Like, yeah, it can be good, but it's drier. And I was like, I'm going to borrow this trick that Bobby has been taking from Pittman, and I'm going to shave some butter in this. And I kid you not, I've been thinking about these things since like all night long. I lost sleep thinking about how damn good these things were. Putting in the seasoning on the outside of it, putting in a cast iron. They were life-changing. They were life-changing, grating the butter with the meat church, the gospel, inside and out, cast iron with the sear. Incredible. And I was like, they make more sense for turkey than probably even beef, because the beef doesn't need it as much as turkey.
Right. Got to fatten it.
Turkey butter burgers, if you get a chance. I promise you.
That's good, because we eat a lot of burgers, but like we just put avocado or cheese on them, right? And we're just sick of it. So we need something else to do.
Yeah.
Because we need something else to do with chicken, Pittman. Because we're just like, we just do grilled chicken breast, right? Or
I was going
to
say, like poultry. You know, like if you're doing, you mentioned turkey, but chicken burgers are actually really good. And it's the same thing. You know, you can.
It'd probably be better than turkey, right? Chicken more fat?
Yeah, exactly. And it still needs fat. So you gotta put something in. I mean, some people put bacon in it, you know, because there's a lot of fat in the bacon, but I think the butter's, I've actually not put butter in a poultry burger yet. So you're a trendsetter. I'm gonna have to try that this week.
What did you do, Sean? I'm curious, what cheese did you go with on here?
Whatever was in the fridge. It was like a Colby mix or some leftover cheddar or something like that.
Now that's one of the there you go, Matt. That's a question for you, because I had just recently, I'm very new touching anything on a grill or even a George Foreman grill.
Yeah, you don't have a house.
You go to one of those stand-up ones that's got like half of a, it doesn't have a cover on it. It's just like a semicircle.
I mean, wherever you can get a flame, okay? But like the idea of getting the perfect melt on the cheese, the hack I learned recently that probably everybody else knows, this is going to sound like Peyton saying like, do y'all know it's baby calf or whatever he said?
Cover the pan?
No, with the, get the, on the George Foreman grill, just get a glass bowl and like put it over the actual patty. It was great. That's what I do, Sean.
Matt, come on now.
You cover it.
To steam it, Matt.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
You can call that the Bobby method if you want.
All right. Man, he's working hard today. So, here's the deal. Like, yeah, that works, but I love cheese. I call it super melty on my burger. So just, when I flip the burger and I'm cooking the last side, somewhere in the middle of the cook, I throw the cheese on it so that it's like crazy melted. And I really like it when the cheese is bigger than the burger and it goes down on the surface and gets kind of crusty a little bit. So yeah, and I'm not mad if you put two or three pieces of cheese on there.
Matt Pittman, aka it's a Meat Church Wednesday with the official pitmaster and NFL insider on Sean and RJ. What did you make for the first official Cowboys tailgate out there on Sunday?
Well, a lot of planning has gone into our first few tailgates, and the game this past weekend was our only noon home game of the season. So I took that chance to make breakfast because we're getting out there early, right? So I took a Traeger Flat Rock griddle, and I basically made like a breakfast taco bar. So it's pretty simple. I had eggs. I had fresh tortillas from butter tortillas from HEB bacon, chorizo, sausage. I made homemade sauces so people could just do whatever they wanted to do. And then I made some of my hash brown omelets, which is like a reverse omelet. You cook potatoes and you pour scrambled eggs in those fried potatoes after a couple minutes, and then load it up with onions, bell pepper, cheese, whatever meat you want. And I topped them with sour cream. I put it on my Instagram. So that and some Bloody Marys, pretty straightforward. But with the 325 kick this week, we are going hardcore Texas barbecue and we're going big. So we got to bring it. 0-2 Ravens. I'm putting forth 110% effort in the parking lot this weekend.
With what?
Baltimore, is there such a thing as Baltimore barbecue? What was it? Cleveland barbecue?
I'll find out
the other day.
There's gotta be a Baltimore
barbecue.
It's pit beef.
Pit beef?
Not Pittman beef. It's pit beef. Pit beef sandwiches. Yeah. Do you know about that?
Oh, yeah. I would say you would know. Yeah, that's right.
You can smoke a crab cake.
Could do that.
No one in Texas knows how to make crab cakes. Maybe Pittman can teach. I don't know if he's got the skills.
Walchuk would agree with you. No one in Texas knows how to make them.
I know how to make them. I know how to make them. But Matt, what does going big mean? What's the plan?
Well, I'm attempting. So, tailgating situation, there's only certain spots, a really good spot to tailgate. And
where are you set up, by the way?
You're the second radio station to ask me today where I'm set up. So we're going to you know how many people are going to.
I wasn't aware you'd
be the first.
If you were on other radio stations, this might have to end. Exclusivity here.
It's a little different. And it airs tomorrow. So you're getting the scoop first.
All right.
Yeah.
You know how I'm about that. I'm petty about that.
We're south of the stadium. I'll say that. And people find, we got a meat church tent. It's no big deal. People are going to find us. But I'm attempting to take one of my mill scales this week. You know, we want the look. And so if I get the mill scale offset in there, we've already procured beef ribs, brisket, pork ribs. Like, we're just going big. Like, we're not playing around this week.
All right. Talk to me about this mill scale. What is it? Why is everyone talking about it? How's it different from my Big Green Egg or my pellet in the backyard? What is so different about it?
Well, all right. So mill scale is a pit manufacturer down in Lockhart. It's a traditional offset smoker. So I've got three from them, but they're all different types. But I've got two big trailer rigs. One is a reclaimed propane tank that's 1,000 gallons, and one is a little bit smaller and it's rolled steel. So, I mean, one guy described offset barbecue as just this like Texas romantic thing that you got to do, you know, if you want to be known as the best barbecue around.
And offset means what technically?
So you've got a big tank and then you have a firebox offset from that tank. So you build and run your fire in this firebox and the smoke travels through the tank, right? All cooked indirectly, much bigger than, you know, something you could have at home. So it's the most traditional old school way to make barbecue, I would say. I mean, you could also do that like on a drum, but and when I think Texas barbecue, that's what I think of, not a rotisserie or any of this other stuff. So anyway, you know, I love the look. I love those guys. And
what's the advantage of the cook?
I mean, you get, you know, you're going to get the biggest smoke that way for sure. Right. And, you know, therefore you're developing, in my opinion, the best bark. I mean, it is your true low and slow old school method, basically.
Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, here on 105.3 The Fan. I saw you got something.
I was just going to say, and the offset, it really allows for precise control over the smoke and heat, right, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to know how to run fire.
He's trying to redeem himself off of covering the cheese.
I'm just having ChatGPT tell me all this stuff.
I got another way. This new cheese method, like, you put it in this box.
Look, it's the firebox, the cooking chamber.
You put it in this box, and you press, like, 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
And that's the way I do it.
And then these waves. Radio waves kind of cling back and forth, and all of a sudden it melts.
That's right. Now,
are we going to be expecting like a George Foreman recipe out of Bobby next time?
How many people still have Foreman?
I might.
Are they good? Are those grills still out there?
I don't think it's technically a George Foreman. It's just some sort of thing.
There's like an indoor smoker now. I saw at some, you know,
Gavin Dawson
technology. Pittman
with the TV off.
How did you set up that press conference shot signing the contract as the official pitmaster? Where and how did that take place?
Listen, I got to give credit to my man Brett with the Cowboys. He's been so good to me, and we're working on an announcement video for this where he and I have talked about. We really want a storytell. Like, this isn't just about partnering with the Cowboys. This is about how my love of cooking literally started in the red parking lot of Texas Stadium. And if someone listens to the whole story, it's super cool. At the end, I say it's a full circle moment. So we went out, he was nice enough to take us to AT&T Stadium last week to do a little video walking in. And then we decided to go in and recreate that shot that CD had to put in the video. And so that was all credit to Brett. It's been amazing. Actually, the entire Cowboys organization, I've always said, has been like so good to me. Like, it's nuts. I'm not AT&T, right? I'm not Ford, but they treat me like I am. So we thought that was a lot of fun. And by the way, the picture I put on Instagram that he allowed us to take is the number 3 most liked photo in our history in like 72 hours. So really cool. And the comments were shockingly amazing until after the game. They turned a little bit, but that's okay.
Matt Pittman here every other Wednesday. It's a Meat Church hump day, here on Sean and RJ. So what's coming out video wise? Is the Jalen Tolbert video coming out?
No, we didn't actually shoot a video. I just was cooking with him and his family. But today is chicken lollipops, which is not a new thing.
Choppy.
But, oh, man.
Well, that's going to be, will you guys eat the dark meat or only chicken breast?
No. Oh no, we love dark meat. Yeah.
Especially like that.
Matt, take it away. Tell us about the lollipops, please.
Well, you French.
French the dark meat.
French the dark meat.
I think this segment may be over.
Yeah.
All right. So basically you French the drumstick, you push all the chicken down to make kind of like a ball. I decided to do it because my 12-year-old has suddenly gotten way into eating chicken legs. And so, you know, it was pretty standard, but the cool thing about it, it comes out at 10 o'clock today. I've never done this, and my daughter-in-law had the idea. I actually seasoned it with the new seasoning that I'm making with the Cowboys. So I had like a clear bottle, and I said like, hey, this is a seasoning that's not complete, and this is part of the test. So we seasoned it with that, and we glazed it with a really cool, tasty prickly pear jalapeno glaze that Big Wicks makes, and it was really delicious. So it comes out 10 o'clock today.
Is it a pain to cut whatever that the crap is underneath by the handle?
No, it was easy. I just took a knife and just kind of slice around it, and you push it down with your hand. And when you do that, like the tendons and stuff are going to kind of shoot out. And I just took kitchen shears and just kind of trimmed it. But it's actually very easy.
Bobby, you have any chicken tips for us? Or
I'm actually not joking. I've eaten the lollipop wings before. They're really, really good.
The lollipop wings.
The chicken lollipop wings. One of my favorite barbecue spots makes them.
Matt, keep killing it. This was fantastic. Congratulations on the breaking news. And try not to get any more phone calls from Frisco.
And try that cheese tip.
Thank you, Pittman. We'll see you this Sunday for the tailgate. It's a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman. Uh-oh. How has Dallas's 1-1 start changed the outlook for the schedule? Stop doing that with your fingers, Dr. Evil. Next. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
6 weeks. There is 6 weeks that Mike McCarthy has to survive. If he gets through that, he'll be here for the entire season. But we're watching 6 weeks in particular for Mike McCarthy as the Cowboys now sit at 1-1. And Jerry Jones yesterday telling us, look, contract status for Mike McCarthy, that has nothing to do with magnifying or making things worse from New Orleans. We're giving a bunch of praise after Cleveland. That's not got anything to do with it, all right? And maybe some of these early season struggles, I mean postseason success. Well, if you struggle too much, you may not even get a chance to go to the postseason success and have that question. Now,
these shows with the Cowboys coverage.
Turn on your mic. They don't even have any shame. Thought it was on. Thanks, Peyton.
I mean, it's like 80% coverage. Trivia question. Who has the most rushing yards against the Cowboys? Jeff Saturday breaking it down. The Jerry Jones segments from the replay of our interview yesterday. Yeah. Over and over and over and over. It's getting more.
They can't let it go. They are the big brand for a reason. Now, Jerry Jones' chief rival, real quick before we get into the schedule, Arthur Blank. Who he's butted heads with ever since the Goodell contract extension. Arthur Blank received a very large honor.
This is amazing.
Arthur Blank is inducting himself into the Falcons Ring of Honor this weekend, Chop.
Are you sure he's inducting
him? Yeah, I just read it. That's what it says. It says that he's putting himself in.
Is Jerry even in?
No. No, he's not.
So Arthur's the selector of the Ring of Honor.
Yeah. And so Arthur Blank is
a loser move.
He's going into the Ring of Honor, and he's somebody who the Falcons have gotten a lot of praise for their cheap concessions.
Yes.
Now they're going to go even cheaper in honor of Arthur Blank. So he's giving everyone who attends the Chiefs Falcons game free hot dogs. You get two per attendee. So they're going to give out two free hot dogs to everybody who comes to the stadium.
That's awesome.
Two free bags of chips. An unlimited soda in a free souvenir cup.
Okay.
What would you expect to pay for two hot dogs, two chips, and a souvenir soda? $30 at a stadium usually?
Oh, no. $42.
Easily.
$42.
Yeah, I mean, his slogan is more saving, more doing.
Is it? I don't know what that means.
The Home Depot one, right?
Oh, is he a Home Depot guy?
He was the owner. He was the founder.
I had no idea.
You didn't know that?
No, he looks like he...
get more done.
No, he looks like the butler for a haunted mansion or something.
He does have that butler for... Yes, he does look like he was in House on Haunted Hill.
Remember how I told you yesterday I like detected some shots from Belichick?
It was.
Towards the Falcons? Barstool went and did an audio recap.
Great.
It was vicious. It was vicious. It was so petty. I loved it from Bill. You know I love petty. And he took three or four shots, and he was talking about Arthur down there on the sideline rooting when they were up 28-3. I remember that about the Super Bowl. Took that shot, said, oh, that's one of the three players that they tampered with.
Yeah.
Lack of discipline. They didn't tackle week one either. They didn't tackle week two. They didn't tackle week one.
Shots.
But Arthur Blank's grade What grade does he deserve to go in based off wins, losses, and success there? My quick answer is no.
Oh, since Rich McKay got there in 04.
Was he owner of the Dirty Bird team?
I don't think so. Let
With
me look
Jamal?
That up.
I don't know. Since Rich McKay got there at least in 04, they're 5 games over .500.
Yeah. And should have a Super Bowl win, but
should
they don't.
February 2002. So, no, he was not there for the Dirty Bird
team. Yeah, man. What are you doing, man? Even Jerry Jones hasn't put himself in the Cowboys Ring of Honor yet. His pettiness was Jimmy. But Jerry hasn't even put himself in. You're putting yourself in? Clown move.
All right, what's worse, that or just building himself a statue out front?
Does he have a statue?
No, he does. I'm saying, like, what if he did that instead?
He would, I'm sure.
Let's say if they built the new stadium.
Both.
Right? It's just equally.
Both.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, he would not be the first person to dictate that you build a shrine to him throughout the course of history if you go back through time. But I think he is the first to put himself in a Ring of Honor.
He still goes down on the field.
Yes.
No one. I can't remember the last time anyone's ever talked about that.
Yeah, he's down there all the time.
Except for Belichick.
So Dallas is now 1-1, and I think the stretch that Mike McCarthy's really got to be worried about in terms of his job security is going to be weeks 8 through 13. So those are the first 6 games coming out of the bye week. So when they come out of the bye week, I think the worst case scenario, they sit at 1-1 right now. Worst case scenario, we would agree, I assume, is 2-4. Because here's their next games. Baltimore, on the road against the Giants. On the road against the Steelers. At home against the Lions. You're beating the Giants,
yeah.
I assume.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
It's possible you could lose to the Ravens, Steelers, and Lions. I don't know that it's likely.
Yeah, it's possible.
But, you know, I think what's more likely is...
What did ESPN say about that possibility? Are there analytics?
ESPN's analytics says the Cowboys will be... Well, I shouldn't say will be. They will be the underdog in 4 of their next 5 games. Not in terms of necessarily the point spread, but like their chances of winning the game. You know how they do like the chance of winning. So they give the Cowboys a 47% chance against Baltimore, a 60% chance against the Giants, so they should win that one. A 49% chance at Pittsburgh. So toss up, but still, if they were to play that season 100 times, they would lose more than they would win. A 44% chance against Detroit, and then a 36% chance at San Francisco. So again, if you played the Cowboys season out 100 times in a simulation, they would be 2-5 more often than anything else.
I think they right now, my best guess is they hit the bye week and they're 3-3. That's what I would guess is going to happen. Worst case scenario would be 2-4, but I would imagine they're probably going to lose right now to Baltimore and Detroit is what I would guess, and they beat Pittsburgh and the Giants,
okay,
or maybe some other combination of it.
So we'll call it 3-3.
If they are 3-3 heading into the bye week, how much heat do you think we're talking about heading into that San Francisco game on McCarthy's job itself? Do you think we're like, nah, this hasn't been a disaster enough to potentially jeopardize?
Has not been a disaster enough.
Okay, so now let's pick it up. You still think 3-3 would be questionable at that point?
No. I think that they would not have been enough because they're now. Look, if they go and they play Detroit and they get beat 44-19 at home, like they did against the Saints, and Detroit rolls up on them, and it's like, okay, there's clearly here that you're not on the level of some NFC teams. Maybe we could talk about
3-3 has meant that you beat some combo of Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Detroit, which we would view as pretty nice wins.
That would be, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So even if you're 3-3, you still beat the Ravens, the Lions, or the Steelers.
Yep. And so heading into this game, you'd be 3-3. I think that's kind of where everybody's at this point. You'd be 3-3 heading into a game against the 49ers on the road. That is a nationally televised Sunday night football game. If you're sitting at the bye week and kind of stewing on, I really didn't want us to be .500 heading into the bye, and you were to get just walloped again by the 49ers on national TV, I don't think that's enough to end McCarthy in the season. That is the point, I think, where you start going, he might get in trouble here. But like, if he doesn't clear the stretch, because after the San Francisco game, here's what you have. On the road the next week against the Falcons, which we don't know who the Falcons are yet, I guess, and what Kirk Cousins will be at that point. It is a noon start. Might be a little difficult for Micah.
1 o'clock there, though.
Yes, that's true. So the 1 o'clock start in Atlanta. The next week, you're at home against Philadelphia and then at home against the Texans on Monday Night Football. So San Francisco, Atlanta, Philly, Houston, let's say they're 3-3 when they get out of the bye week. Worst case scenario, probably 4-6 at that point. if you're talking worst case scenario, because they probably steal one of those at least, even if they're struggling.
I'm not worried about the Falcons yet.
So 4-6, is that enough that you think, all right, now there's discussions that Mike is in trouble?
Are we talking about discussions of in trouble within the
in season?
No. No.
No, I really don't think.
No.
In season, he's not going to make a change at 4-6, because 4-6, it also depends on where the rest of the division is. You know, if the division still is in striking distance, I don't think he's going to make a change at 4-6. It's going to have to be the team quit. I don't think Wade gets fired if they lose that Green Bay game by 4.
You think how they lose matters?
Yeah, because what were they, 1-5 at that point? I think they were 1-5.
Something like 1-7 or something. Yeah,
whatever it was. Yeah, it was 1-7. But they could have been 1-7, but they didn't. If they didn't lose like by 30 or 28, whatever it was, I don't think Wade gets fired then.
I do think if you're 4-6 and then you roll into, it's a road game against Washington, short week for Thanksgiving into the Giants. I think if you're 4-6 and you lose one of those two games against Washington or the Giants, now you're done. I could see them saying during the 10-day layoff after Thanksgiving, okay, we're resetting, we're hitting the reset button. But I think ultimately if he gets out of the Giants stretch and they're not a couple games below 500, he's probably here through the rest of the year. They then close against Cincinnati, Carolina, Tampa, Philly, Washington. But the hardest stretch of the season is going to be this run all the way up through November. I think the biggest threat to McCarthy's job is going to be, you talked about Ravens, Steelers, Lions. If you win one of those, you feel pretty good about picking up a victory against one of those. If you lose all three of those and then you do get beat down by San Francisco again on national TV and you're 2-5, I think the next day he's out. And so I think he's got to pick up. The biggest, most critical stretch for him starts this Sunday through the end of October, up to Halloween. If he can't pick up a victory against one of the Ravens, Steelers, Lions, or 49ers, I think it happens then.
I think we need to learn our lesson starting when Jason Garrett's final year here. Whatever you think Jerry's going to do, I think we even start sounding foolish talking about normal NFL sports timelines. We have to push it back even farther.
Right, because what was Jason, when are we 10 days after the season ended?
When are we going to learn our lesson? You know what I mean?
If they lose, if they don't make the playoffs?
Yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs, I think, Mike, the announcement's made on that Black Monday, right? Because if they don't, but I think you're right. We can't use any timeline because this team doesn't operate on a timeline. They operate on their own.
And what would you apply that timeline for in season? And who are you going to immediately replace him with?
Yeah, see, with Zim? With
Al
Jason.
Harris.
Well, with Wade.
Bones?
With Wade, there was a clear cut. When they made the announcement that Wade was going to get terminated, nobody had a question as to who the next guy was.
Wade was fired after week 9. And so losing to San Francisco would be week 8. It would be around the same time.
But we didn't. There was a guy clearly in waiting. We didn't know. It wasn't like, oh man, if they let go of Wade, who's gonna? No. We all knew.
Because Jason had his big contract then, right?
Yeah, because he made a ton of money.
And Below the Belt is brought to you by A Number One Air.
Let's talk about the huge news that will affect your sporting life in Frisco yesterday and get you set for maybe the biggest sporting event in the entire world. We'll do it with a special guest, Dan Hunt, in studio. Hump Day Edition.
Hump Day.
Final hour is next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.